Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So the Srimad Bhagavatam today is chapter 17, a new chapter, new volume of the Bhagavatam, depending upon whether you've got the one volume, the nine volume, or the 17 volume set. And this chapter has 17 verses in it, no purports, and it's a complete lineage of all these amazing, great personalities. So I'm going to read through this and then speak about Narada. So, text 1. Sukadev Goswami said, from Purarava came a son named Ayu, whose very powerful sons were Nahusha, Chitravridha, Raji, Rabha, and Anena. O Maharaj Parikit, now hear about the dynasty of Chitravirya. Chitravirya's son was Sahotra, who had three sons named Kasya, Kusha, and Kritsamata. From Kritsamata came Sunaka, and from him came Sonaka, the great saint, the best of those conversant with the Rig Veda. The son of Kasya was Kasi, and his son was Rashtra, the father of Dirgatma. Dirgatma had a son named Dhanvantari, who was the inaugurator of the medical science and an incarnation of Lord Vasudev, the enjoyer of the results of sacrifices. One who remembers the name of Dhanvantari can be released from all diseases. So those of us, or those of you, those of us that are sick and ailing, remember the name of Dhanvantari, chant it daily. The son of Dhanvantari was Ketaman, and his son was Bhimaratta. The son of Bhimaratta was Devodas, and the son of Devodas was Duman, also known as Pratyadana. Duman was also known as Sutrajit, Vastra, Ritavja, and Kuvalayasva. A tough one, his mom calls him in from the yard. You don't know which one he's calling. From him were born Alarka and other sons. Alarka, the son of Duman, reigned over the earth for 66,000 years, my dear King Purkit. No one other than him has reigned over the earth for so long as a young man. From Alarka came a son named Santati, and his son was Sunita. The son of Sunita was Niketana. The son of Niketana was Dharmaketu, and the son of Dharmaketu was Satyaketu. O King Parikit, from Satyaketu came a son named Drishtaketu, and from Drishtaketu came Sukumara, the emperor of the entire world. From Sukumara came a son named Vitihotra, from Vitihotra came Bharga, and from Bharga came Bhargabhumi. O Maharaj Parikit, all these kings were descendants of Kashi, and they would also be called descendants of Chitravidha. The son of Rabha was Rabhasya, and the son of Rabhasya, and from Rabhasya came Gambira, and from Gambira came the son Akriya. The son of Akriya was known as Brahmavit. O king, now hear about the descendants of Anena. From Anena came a son named Sudha, and his son was Suchi. The son of Suchi was Dharmasharati, also called Chitrakrit. From Chitrakrit was born a son named Santaraj, a self-realized soul who performed all kinds of Vedic ritualistic ceremonies and therefore did not beget any progeny. The sons of Raji were 500, all very powerful. On the request of the demigods, Raji killed the demons and thus returned the kingdom of heaven to Lord Indra. But Indra, fearing such demons as Prahlad, foolish Indra, but Indra, fearing such demons as Prahlad, returned the kingdom of heaven to Raji and surrendered himself at Raji's lotus feet. Upon Raji's death, Indra begged Raji's sons for the return of the heavenly planet. They did not return it, however, although they agreed to return Indra's shares in ritualistic ceremonies. Short purport by Srila Prabhupada here. Raji conquered the kingdom of heaven, and therefore when Indra, the heavenly king, begged Raji's sons to return it, they refused. Because they had not taken the heavenly kingdom from Indra, but had inherited it from their father, they considered it to be their paternal property. Why then should they return such property to the demigods? Thereafter, Brihaspati, the spiritual master of the demigods, offered oblations in the fire so that the sons of Raji would fall down from moral principles. I've had personal experience that powerful brahmanas can curse others if the need is there and definitely bring about their demise. So you should be very cautious in dealing with powerful brahmanas. When they fell, Lord Indra killed them easily because of their degradation. Not a single one of them remained alive. From Kusha, the grandson of Kshatridha, Kshatravidha was born a son named Prati. From Prati was Sanjaya, and the son of Sanjaya was Jaya. From Jaya, Krita was born, and from Krita, King Haryabala. From Haryabala came a son named Sahadev, and from Sahadev came Hina. The son of Hina was Jayasena, and the son of Jayasena was Sankriti. The son of Sankriti was a powerful and expert fighter named Jaya. These kings were members of the Kshatravidha dynasty. Now let me describe to you the dynasty of Nahusa. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 17th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Dynasties of the Sons of Pururava. Tomorrow, Nagaraj Prabhu will lead us in another dynasty. Yeah, because he feared that the demons would conquer him. No, he feared they would, so he left the kingdom in the hands of Raji, I guess, who he considered to be more powerful. So, I have to start with these prayers to Narottam. Shri Krishna Namamrita Varshikartra Chandra Pabhadvasta Tamo Varaya Gauranga Devaya Nuchara Tasmai Namo Namashrila Narottamaya. I offer my respectful obeisances to Srila Narottam Das Thakur, a sincere follower of Lord Gaurangadev. Emanating a shower of the nectar of the holy name with his splendor, the moon of his mouth destroys the darkness of ignorance. Murtaiva bhakti kimayam kimesha vairagya sarastananam niloke sambhavate ya pitibhi sadaiva tasmai namashrila. I offer my respectful obeisances to Srila Narottam Das Thakur. The devotees always wonder, is he devotional service personified? Is he the essence of renunciation who has descended to this world in the form of a human being? Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnanjana Shalakaya Chaksavim Medikamina Tasmai Sri Guru Vidamaha Mukam Karoti Vachilam Pandunam Jayati Girim Yapi Patamaham Pande Sri Guru Mahimitarni Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Vedikara Shivasiri Gaur Bhakti Vinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So somehow or another, I've been blessed to have a taste for the life of Narottam Das Thakur. When I began the, part of the blessings I've received in that way are that I able to worship the deities of Narottam Das Thakur, and I have some of his articles which I brought here today. I have a piece of a page from one of his books, and I have a piece of the tree from Prem Thali, which we'll discuss, and some sand from Prem Thali, and a little bit of water there. So that this way I just pray that Srila Prabhupada will bless me, that I'll be able to speak about Narottam Das Thakur in such a way that everyone will become enlightened about hearing about him. Actually, Srila Prabhupada notes that the previous acharyas are very kindly disposed towards devotees, particularly those that are coming before him. And Srila Prabhupada himself, of course, was very fond of Narottam Das Thakur. He would sing his songs quite often. He quoted him very regularly and spoke about the importance of Narottam Das Thakur's writings, his songs. He actually mentioned that the songs of Narottam Das Thakur, they are as good as the Vedic mantras. There are many places in Prabhupada's books where he quotes in his purports Narottam Das Thakur's songs to stress a point about the futility of material life, or to discuss the importance of taking shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. In this way, there is great emphasis given by Prabhupada. This particular book that I'm going to be reading from and referring to today is called the Narottam Vilas, and this was written by Narhari Chakravarti Thakur. Narhari Chakravarti Thakur's father was Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Narhari Chakravarti Thakur's father was a disciple of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was the Shiksha Guru coming after Narottam Das Thakur in our line. So, very nice book from someone that definitely had some insight and understanding and very close to the time frame of Narottam's life. He presents this book, Narottam Vilas, in 11 chapters, or 11 Vilases, and goes through, and we'll read a bit from there. The time frame of Narottam. Narottam is what we commonly refer to in ISKCON as the second generation. The followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, predominantly at that time, of course, were the six Goswamis, Surup Damodar, devotees of this caliber, Ramananda Roy, and so on. And at this time in Vaishnava history, many of them had departed from the planet, had already left. And so this second wave of devotees, which are embodied, if you will, by Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivasacharya, and Shamananda Pandit, begin this process of inaugurating the second stage of Mahaprabhu's spreading of devotional service. So I'd like to start by reading this first page of the first chapter. Actually, the first vilas is interesting because it tells the entire life story in this chapter of Lokanath Goswami, who, of course, is the spiritual master of Narottam Das Thakur and kind of sets the stage for us, puts everything in place, just like we read in the Krishna book. When Krishna's appearing, first all the different personalities appear and get themselves settled, and then Krishna makes his appearance. So, generally speaking, when there's something about to take place, just like Mother Mukhi was mentioning, yesterday's festival didn't just manifest. There was planning, there was events, there was a preparation that all takes place to bring about the event itself. So, in this book, Narhari Chakravarti Thakur explains the life of Narottam Das Thakur's Guru Lokanath Goswami to kind of set that stage. He very nicely starts this book off, and I'll read this here. O Supreme Lord Vishvambhara, you are the husband of the goddess of fortune, and you are my eternal friend. Only you are capable of distributing the wealth of love of Godhead. You are known as kind-hearted to those who are surrendered to you, and so please shower your kindness upon me. I worship Sri Lokanath Goswami, fully surrendered at the lotus feet of Sri Radha Vinod. He is the life and soul of the devotees, and he is a confidential associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I worship Srila Narottam Das Thakur, who is especially dear to Lord Gauranga. Like a honeybee that is always anxious for nectar, he hovers around the lotus feet of Srila Lokanath Goswami, absorbed in love for Sri Radha and Krishna. I worship the disciples of Srila Narottam Prabhu, who are endowed with all good qualities and who are able to destroy anyone's misfortune and misery. This is one of the nice things about taking shelter at the lotus feet of a devotee, is devotees' association can destroy all the suffering that we experience. Not only, as we were hearing described, when the devotees are going to these college programs and out preaching or daily out on book distribution, destroy the material binding of the conditioned souls by having them come in contact with Krishna consciousness, but for the devotees as well. Many of us, our real pleasure in life is just to have the association of devotees, to be in the company of devotees, and that association will deliver us. It'll soothe our mind. So Narahari Chakravarti Thakur, he says how he worships the disciples of Narottam Das Thakur. That means us. We're coming in that line. He's in our sampradaya. By associating with devotees of that caliber, we can get our misfortune removed. We should never short sell the company of those we're sitting in a room with or attending festivals with here in this community. They're very fortunate. For the pleasure of the Vaishnavas, as well as to fulfill my ardent desire, I am writing this book, Narottam Vilas, which briefly describes the glories of Srila Narottam Das Thakur. This is something that we find quite often, is just as with Vrindavan Das Thakur and Lochan Das Thakur, both writing, and Krishnadas Kaviraj even, both writing, all three of them writing the pastimes of Mahaprabhu, one will say, oh, in so-and-so's book, they've spoken about this, so I'll only briefly mention it so as not to make this longer. The pastimes of Narottam Das Thakur are spoken about in different places, and so here, some of them we'll see are condensed a bit, and we'll take an opportunity to expand on some of those as well. All glories to the son of Sachi and Jagannath Mishra, Sri Gauranga Govinda, the embodiment of divine love. He is the life and soul of Nishinanda Prabhu and Advaitacharya, and the only love of Sarup Damodar, Sanatana, Rupa, and Gopal Bhatta. Lord Vishwambhara, who is expert in pleasing everyone, has bound the hearts of Haridas, Bakreshwar, and Narahari with the ropes of his love, and he has won the friendship of Goridas and Gadadhar. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all of his associates. O readers, please be kind upon me. I am illiterate and a fool, and know nothing of what is right and what is wrong. And yet, I have been ordered by saintly persons to write this beautiful book, Narottam Vilas, which will certainly be relished by its readers. Now, this is interesting. Ordinarily, if an author starts his book off by saying, everybody's going to appreciate this book, everybody's going to think it's very well, and they'll become very happy by reading it, we would tend to think that they were a bit full of themselves. But here, because of the mood of Narahari Chakravarti, he says, I'm not able to do this, but I've been ordered by my superior saintly persons, by my teachers, by the acharyas, that I should write this book. And because the subject matter itself is of great spiritual importance, everyone will become very happy by it. So it's a very nice way of him acknowledging the importance, but at the same time, speaking in a very, you know, humble way about the fact that he's the one doing the writing. So the second vilas begins by describing the appearance, and as we're celebrating the appearance of Narottam Das Thakur, I want to read from here. Yeah, and the end of the very first vilas builds up to the fact of Krishnananda Dutt and his wife having conceived a child. And so here we find that starts off the second chapter with that. The wheel of time finally turned until during the sixth hour of the full moon day in the month of Magh, when all auspicious signs became visible, Narottam Das was born to fulfill the mission of the Lord. Now this is Lord Chaitanya predicted quite earlier than Narottam's appearance that he would be a personality that would come, and that in his coming he would take a very prominent role to fulfill the desire Lord Chaitanya had to see Krishna consciousness spread in many directions. We'll hear more about that later. His mother, radiant with beauty, wept joyfully as she lovingly gazed at the charming face of her son. A divine effulgence illuminated the delivery room, and happiness swelled within the hearts of everyone. From that moment, the village of Sri Kattari became a most auspicious place. The residents suddenly felt purified, as if cleansed of all misgivings. They trembled with ecstatic emotion. Tears filled their eyes, and they spontaneously chanted the holy name of the Lord with devotion. The people rushed to the house of Krishnananda, carrying gifts to the newborn child. This is actually very amazing, because just by the appearance in this world, we've read in the Srimad Bhagavatam how when the Lord appeared, so many auspicious signs were there, and so much relief was given to the world. As a matter of fact, of course, we know from Bhagavad Gita, this is why Lord Krishna appears, to uplift the world, to deliver the devotees, and annihilate those who are opposed to the devotional principles. So here we see that the residents of his own hometown, that when Narottam made his birth, they all became very, very joyful, very happy, and they felt great satisfaction and great pleasure and happiness within themselves. And here again, this is the nature of being with the devotee, of being in the proximity of a devotee, being able to take advantage of their presence. You know? Dutta Mahasaya warmly welcomed everyone without taking his eyes off the face of his child for a second. Krishnananda's exalted father profusely distributed charity to the singers, musicians, and others present for his grandson. So the father and grandfather both there. The father is welcoming everyone. Yes, thank you. Very nice of you to come. Happy to see you. Just please. And not for a moment taking his eyes off Narottam. Just completely absorbed in the beauty of his child and the satisfaction of having this boy take his birth there. So it was left up to the grandfather, Krishnananda's father, to be the one to distribute all the charity back to those that were bringing all the gifts like this. Krishnananda's exalted father profusely distributed charity to the singers, the musicians, and others present for the protection of his grandson. There is no woman in the world as fortunate as Narottam's mother, Narayani. By the grace of the Lord, she was granted the divine vision to see Gauranga, Nityananda, and Advaita dancing ecstatically in her house. Actually, it was on two occasions. Once, while she was carrying Narottam within the womb, she had this vision of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and Advaita coming and dancing in her house in great ecstasy. And she was very, you know, perplexed by this and confided this in her husband, Krishnananda Dutta. And, you know, he was also very amazed to hear this. And then at the birth of Narottam, Mahaprabhu and Nityananda and Advaita also manifested in the house and began dancing and chanting in ecstasy. They were very, very satisfied that Narottam had finally made his appearance in this world. So in this way, we find that she's described as the most fortunate woman. Narayani jubilantly watched as her son continued to grow like the waxing moon. Similarly, Krishnananda's pleasure knew no bounds as he constantly stared at the jewel-like face of his son. Being grateful because of his good fortune, he fed the local brahmanas daily. This is also an important point, that his gratitude was not just something that he absorbed within himself. Oh, I'm very happy. Oh, this is nice. But immediately he reciprocated by showing that gratitude to the Brahmins, making sure that they were properly fed and satisfied. And on a daily basis he did this because of the great pleasure. Of course, now, Krishnananda was, it's not been covered so much here, but he was a very wealthy landowner. He was the king of this area. And so great wealth was at his disposal. But he understood clearly how to use that wealth in the service of the Brahmins. So it was very nice. On the auspicious day, Krishnananda arranged for the ceremony of offering rice, first grains, to his son. The astrologer present on that joyful occasion noted all the auspicious signs present in the child's body. It was indicated that he had all the 32 signs of Mahapurush, of a great personality. He predicted that the boy would become an illustrious person, saying, "This baby will grow up to be the greatest of men. Therefore, he should be called Narottam." Naro meaning humans and Uttam meaning the best of men. The festivities went on happily until Krishnananda arrived at the point of feeding his son some rice. To everyone's dismay, the child refused to eat. Although they coaxed him again and again, the boy repeatedly turned his head away, refusing to eat. The festive atmosphere was thus replaced with anxiety, as everyone nervously looked to one another, not knowing what to do. The thoughtful astrologer then reassured everyone, saying, "Don't worry, this baby will not accept food unless it has first been offered to Lord Vishnu." The rice was then offered to Lord Vishnu and once again given to the child. To everyone's relief, the baby happily devoured it. From that day onward, realizing the value of prasadam, Krishnananda ordered, "Only food that has been offered to Krishna should be given to my son." Now, here in Narottam Vilas, as I mentioned, these things are briefly told, some of them. There's actually other tellings of this story that are a bit more elaborate. And the indication that Narottam would only take prasadam actually has a build-up point in it. When Narottam was actually offered the grains, another way that it's told is that he actually... they put him in his mouth, because at that age, generally what happens is, those of you that have been to grain ceremony, you actually put the grain into the child's mouth. When he spit it out, he wouldn't take it. So three times he did this, not just once, twice, but three times he spit it out. Now, in the assembly was one Brahmin from the village called Krishnadas. And Krishnadas had been an associate of Mahaprabhu, kind of peripherally during his pastimes in Navadvipa. And so he was a very, very wonderful devotee. And he actually instructed, he said that, I think I know how to solve this problem. Because as it mentions here, the whole festive mood, all of the pleasure and happiness of now the child's arrived at the age where he's going to take first grains, he'll grow big and strong, and he'll, you know, everybody's very happy and celebrating, became completely filled with anxiety and distress. You know, the child's not going to eat them. So what to do? So Krishnadas said, I think I can resolve this. If you go to the kitchen and cook fresh rice and offer that first to the deity, then bring that prasad, then see what happens. And then, of course, that's where it indicates it. Narottam then took that rice, and Krishnananda exclaimed that from this day forth, nothing shall be fed to my son except prasadam. So in his very childhood, Narottam proclaimed through this activity the importance and the necessity of taking Krishna prasadam. So, although the worship of Lord Krishna was customary in the family from the time of Narottam's birth, everyone became much more attentive to the Lord's service. So we see that there was devotional service there, of course, but Narottam enhanced that in the mood of the people and encouraged more commitment to the service of the Lord. After a few years, Narottam began his studies and soon proved to be an exceptional student. Within a short while, he became a scholar in all subjects. His teachers used to comment, "How is it possible that this boy is learning so quickly? Do you think that maybe he is an incarnation of God?" Narottam was an adorable boy, and he endeared himself to everyone. In fact, he was the talk of the town. Someone would see him and say, "Just one glance at Narottam is sufficient to calm my mind and chase away all of my miseries." Another would comment, "From every angle of vision, this prince is beautiful." You know how sometimes they say, "Oh, holy, you take care of something, my right side is the better side." You know, people are like, "Oh, no, my left side is better." You know, but here, from every angle, you looked up at him, you looked down at him, you looked left, every angle, Narottam was just amazingly beautiful. Someone else would say, "Oh, I have never seen such a gorgeous boy." So the interesting thing about this is mostly we find that parents tend to be particularly wrapped up in their own children. Natural, nothing wrong with that. Prabhupada tells the story that if there is a burning house or a building burning and a man runs in and he first saves his own child, no one will fault him, "Oh, you saved your child and let others." No, of course you're going to save your own child. So in a similar way, people generally are very prone to glorifying their own children and how beautiful my child is and how intelligent my child is and my child is, you know, like this and that and the other. You know, so, but here we see that there's no mood of envy, no mood of jealousy amongst the villagers. They're very, very satisfied to speak in a very glorious way about Narottam and very much appreciate it. So it says, in this way, Krishnananda's son was glorified throughout the town. Krishnananda was happy simply to gaze upon his son. But as time went by, he began to think, "My son is very capable in all aspects, so he should be married soon. I'm getting old, and so it's time for me to give up my responsibilities of managing the household and kingdom." I was thinking how nice it is that this shows two very instructive points here. First of all, that even though Krishnananda was happy just to gaze at the beauty of his son, he realized that he had an obligation, that he had a higher calling, if you will, to take care of arranging for his son's future life. Now, of course, as a householder himself, that meant to arrange for his son's marriage. This was a common thing. Make sure all the arrangements are in place, that he gets nicely married and gets properly settled in his life and then can move on. And why? Because I'm becoming old. I'm going to have to retire soon. It wasn't that he was going to hold on till the very end. You know, that he understood, "I have other obligations to renounce all of this, to retire from all of this, and let my son take over this management." So this was very nice thinking on Krishnananda's part. So thinking in this way, he then consulted some of the higher gentlemen in the village so that a suitable bride could be found for him. In the meantime, Narottam himself remained absorbed in the ecstasy of love for Krishna. With his eyes full of tears, he worshipped the Lord in private, oblivious to everything else. While fully engaged in Krishna consciousness, Narottam lost all taste for mundane pleasures and thus took no interest in his family's activities and in their vast properties. Aware of their son's growing apathy toward materialistic life, Krishnananda and Narayani became very anxious and could think of nothing else. Finally, the parents hired someone to constantly watch over their son, but still they remained full of anxiety. So we have to ask, how is it that this manifests in Narottam? And there's a very, very wonderful story to this effect. When Mahaprabhu was engaged in kirtan at the area of the Padmavati River, I was walking with Nityananda and Haridas and some other devotees. But they were doing kirtan, and he stopped on the banks of the Padmavati River across from the village of Katori. And he said, called out in a very loud voice, "Oh, Narottam! Oh, Narottam!" And Nityananda turned to him and said, "My Lord, who is this Narottam? I don't know any of your associates named Narottam." Of course, we know that Lord Nityananda is the external manifestation of the Supersoul, so he understands all of this. He's actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but for the sake of Leela, he enacted this role. "My Lord, who is this Narottam?" Nityananda said, "Soon, a great personality will appear, and his name will be Narottam. And through him, I will manifest the Bhakti Shastras, and through him, I will spread love of Godhead." So then Lord Chaitanya entered into the Padmavati River. And as he entered into the river began to overflow and to bubble up and to rise up in waves of ecstasy at being touched by the very body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And at this moment, the personality, Mother Padmavati herself, manifested from the waters and came before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with folded hands. And she said, "My dear Lord, what would you have me do?" And then Lord Chaitanya manifested from himself a golden-hued youth. And that personality stood before them. And Lord Chaitanya said to Mother Padmavati, "Take charge of this personality. And in the future, an individual named Narottam will come and bathe in your waters. And when he does, place this embodiment of love of God in his care." So Mother Padmavati accepted that, and the river quieted back down. Lord Chaitanya stepped out, and the kirtan party went on. So we fast forward ahead quite a number of years. Narottam Das Thakur is living in, as we've read here, great comfort, great satisfaction, great enamorment by his parents and the villagers in his home. And one night he has a dream. And in this dream, Lord Nityananda appears to him. And Lord Nityananda appears just as the Chaitanya Charitamrita describes his appearance to Krishnadas Kaviraj, surrounded by his devotees with a garland that's got bumblebees buzzing about it, beautiful blue dhoti on his white complexion, and his lips are reddish from chewing spices, and one side is someone fanning him with a chamra, and on the other side is someone fanning him with a peacock fan. And Lord Nityananda calls to Narottam. He says, "Wake up. Wake up and go to the Padmavati River and take your bath." So in this way, Narottam rises from bed. And it's early in the morning. It's earlier than he usually rises or than the household is up. So he quietly goes out of the house and goes to the Padmavati River. And he enters into that river to take his morning bath. And as he does, the waters from the Padmavati River begin to churn, and the waves begin to toss, and the personality, Mother Padmavati, stands up from the river and manifests from herself this golden-hued form of a youth that enters into the body of Narottam. Now, interesting thing about Narottam's appearance, visual appearance, is he was referred to as Shambhavarna. He had a bluish tint to his body. Upon the entrance of this personality into his body, which was none other than the personality of Prema Ras, entered into the body, his whole bodily complexion turned golden. So in this way, he began to experience the personal embodiment of Lord Chaitanya's love of God. And this caused him to cry in ecstasy and faint and stand up and roll on the ground and cry and faint just over and over again. So he's on the banks of the Padmavati under this beautiful large tree, which is a branch right here, and experiencing this. And in the meantime, back at the home, family rises, and day's going about, starting on herself, and mother notices, no, mom hasn't gotten up yet. Well, anyways, the umbo may be sleeping a little bit today. Some time passes by, so she goes to his room, and Narottam's gone. My Narottam is gone. So she begins searching the house, looking in this room, looking in that room, going here, looking out in the courtyard. Narottam is gone, Krishnananda, Narottam is gone. So what to do? So Krishnananda gathers some of the servants, find Narottam, look for him. Our dear Naro is just, what has happened to him? So they begin looking all over. Then he sends guards out, go out and search the countryside. So they're out looking everywhere, and they report back, and one guard says, you know, we didn't find anything. I did find one young boy about Narottam's age, but he was golden colored. It wasn't Narottam. No, no, take us to him. Take us to him. So he takes Krishnananda and Mother Narayani and this whole entourage from the family in the village, and they go, and they see this youth lying under a tree, and sure enough, from a distance, it doesn't look like Narottam. But as they get closer, they realize, no, wait, yes, it is our Narottam. And Mother Narayani picks him up and holds him on her lap and is crying profusely, and her tears are drenching his body. And Krishnananda's banging his head, my Narottam, what has happened to my Narottam? And in the meantime, Narottam's coming in and out of ecstasy and consciousness. And finally, they're able to quieten him. They take him back to the house and they put him to bed to, you know, hopefully he's just gotten sick. Or one soothsayer says, oh, he's been inhabited by a ghost. It has to be, you know, this and that. And so all these different theories are put out. And finally, Narottam comes back to his external consciousness. He says, no, no, nothing is wrong. Everything is okay. But what has happened to you? You've changed. Narottam says, and he just kind of dismisses it. He realizes his parents aren't going to understand. So he just keeps it internal. Then in due course of time, more and more, Krishnadas is coming. Now, of course, Krishnadas is a very powerful brahmana. He's performed great austerities in his life, and everyone fears crossing him. They respect him, but no one will stop him. So he has free range to come into the village and to go right into the room of Narottam, and he speaks daily with Narottam. He comes, and Narottam, this is so wonderful, because Narottam shows greatly the humility that he has, even though being in such a material, what to speak of, spiritual circumstance. When Krishnadas comes, he immediately offers prostrated obeisances to him, and then offers some nice prayers, gives him a seat, and then sits, and for the entire morning listens to Krishnadas speak about the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, about Nityananda, about glorifying all the different personalities. So in this way, Narahari Chakravarti Thakur continues, because of this, Narottam felt that his home was like a prison, and he no longer wanted to stay there and longed for the day that would come when he would be set free. Although he spoke to no one about this, he always waited for the opportunity to leave home. Every day in secret, Narottam desperately pleaded for the Lord to somehow arrange for his release. At these times, his body would become covered with the dust from rolling on the ground in ecstasy while crying out in deep anguish. Raising his arms into the air, Narottam begged in a pitiful manner, "Oh, Gauranga, oh, Nitai, oh, Advaita, my lords, please save me from this hell." Now, this is an interesting point. He's adored by the entire village. His father has wealth beyond all estimation. He's got everything in his disposal that he wants. Pretty cushy life. "Please save me from this hell," he pleads. He doesn't want any of it. So, in this way, the Krishnadas, as I mentioned, is coming every day and speaking with him like that, and, you know, Narottam's listening, and so this is increasing more and more and more his attraction. Krishnadas is telling him not only about Lord Chaitanya and Lord Ananda, but about Gadadhar Pandit, Srivas Pandit, Akreshwar Pandit, Surup Damodar, Marari Gupta, Haridas Thakur, Narahari Das, Goridas Pandit, Gadadhar Das, Vasu Ghosh, Mukundadat, Sanjaya, Damodar Pandit, Kashishwar, Paramananda Bharati, Krishnadas Brahmachari, Lokanath Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Pat Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Subhuti Mishra, Raghava Pandit, Krishna Pandit, and all the other associates of Mahaprabhu. Krishnadas knew his history. He knew who was who. He'd been there for much of this, you know. So he was repeating all of these different personalities. Now, particularly, Krishnadas told the story of Srinivasacharya. He spoke about the life of Srinivasacharya. Krishnadas actually held Narottam's hands and he said, "My dear child, how can I properly describe the wonderful qualities of Srinivas? In his youth, he became famous not only as a great scholar, but the very embodiment of love and devotion for Lord Chaitanya." Now, for the next 2.5 pages, Krishnadas speaks about the life of Srinivasacharya, and we'll save that for another time. So, after hearing about the story of Srinivasacharya from the elder Brahmana Krishnadas, the spontaneous love for Srinivas arose in the heart of Narottam. While floating in an ocean of tears, Narottam thought, "When will I obtain the association of Srinivasacharya?" So this is an interesting point because, as we know, eventually it would be the threesome, Srinivasacharya, Narottam Das Thakur, and Shyamananda Pandit. Now, the interesting thing is that Srinivasacharya, depending on which aspect you look at, I mean, which biography you're looking at, he's somewhere between 7 and 11 years older than Narottam. In this particular reference and other references, I lean towards the 11 years, 10 to 11 years older. So he had some seniority, he had experience. When Narottam would be, say, in his mid-teens, Srinivas would already be in his mid-20s and, you know, going about all of the activities that made him so prominent in devotional service. So in this way, he begins to hear about and hanker for the association of Srinivasacharya, very much desiring that company. And then, of course, we know that in due course of time, Narottam was able to escape. His father had gone away on some business, and he tricked his mother. You know, mothers are a little loving and soft-hearted sometimes. And so he tricked her and slipped out and then got away and, you know, never looked back and went to Vrindavan and stayed in Vrindavan under the tutelage. He arrived there in Vrindavan. There's an entire section about his arrival in Vrindavan and how what his mood was and how he arrived. And I'm looking at the clock and it's 8:45. I'm going, how is this possible? I'm not even halfway through the second velas. At any rate, so in this way, he arrives in Vrindavan. And as we all know, the wonderful story, takes shelter at the lotus feet of Lokanath Goswami. And then is trained very carefully by Jiva Goswami in the association of Shyamananda, used to be Duki Krishna, Shyamananda and Srinivasacharya. And then the three are sent back after some time. They're sent back to their prospective places, East Bengal, West Bengal, and Orissa, respectively, to spread the teachings of Lord Chaitanya as the Goswamis have written it and given these books to them. So we'll finish there. Fortunate to have to stop, but you know, we could sit here the entire day and speak about Narottam with great satisfaction. But this is a wonderful day for all of us to take some portion of our day. Everybody must have the songs of Narottam at their disposal. We sing them every day, Sri Guru Charanapadma. Actually, interesting thing, we sing the verses of Sri Guru Charanapadma, we do, but there's actually 11 verses in Narottam's original song in glorification like that. At any rate, we'll finish there. We pray that Narottam will continue to bless us in his service and you know, allow us to always be happy to talk about his pastimes. Anyone has any questions, I'll give a shot at them. Yes, Ranta. That's correct. Oh, no. That's a different Narayani. No. That's the niece of Vrindavan Das Thakur, that Narayani. Huh? I'm sorry, what did I say? Yeah, no, that's the mother, excuse me, thank you. I'm always happy to have the association of Pundarika Vidyanidhi. He's forgotten more than I'll ever know on Vaishnava histories, and he's part of that group of devotees from Vrindavan that produced so many of these books. Matter of fact, I think you're involved in this one, aren't you? Yeah, no, not this one, this is Purnaprabhya. But at any rate, yes, so that is a different Leela. A lot of the similar confusion, Narahari Chakravarti Thakur and Narahari Sakar Thakur. because they both write songs and refer to each other like that. So, at any rate, yeah, but it's two different personalities. Yes, comfortable.
We're very fortunate to have such an erudite narrator of the, some of the pastimes, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and the devotees coming down later on. You've written so many wonderful stories. I think we're very, very fortunate for that.
The fortune is to be blessed by the Vaishnavas and the Acharyas to be able to know this stuff. I mean, you know, it's just the fortune. So, we'll finish there. Those of you that want to come up and get a little darshan of Narottam's book and the Premthali, you're welcome to. And get a little Charanamriti. If you've got a cup, it's probably going to be easier, but if not, just give you a little bit in the palm of your hand. Jai, all glories to Narottam Das Thakur. Yee-ho!